IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Hello, welcome. You're listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Atta. With me in the studio are two guests. We want to talk about seven victories, especially during the ceasefire, as the post-outcome of the 50-day war between Zaya American Forces and Islamic Republic of Iran. Sayyid Mudarrisi and Sister Zainab James are over here. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
All right, then. Listeners. Okay, so that's it. So I think today will be the 51st day, I think, or 50 days, something.
The 50th?
Yeah, more than 50th.
I'm not sure.
That's right, 50th day after the war started in Iran. February 27th, I think, it started. And the second day, Minab school was bombed. So we lost 168 of school girls and boys over there. What a sad news. What a tragedy for a war to be started. So the families of these school girls and boys were invited to the holy city of Qom on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima Tul Masuma.
So, how many of their families?
I think most of the families were over here.
Most of the families, yeah.
What a hospitable welcome by the people of Qom on the day of the girls, you know, Ruze Dukhtar, as we call it in the Shia calendar, because most of them were girls. What beautiful souls we missed, and so many other civilians, so many commanders, generals. Our dear Rahbar, you know, we missed after 50-day war. And now we're going to talk about the victories that were, inshallah, achieved. And I call this type of ceasefire kind of silence period, okay? Because in the silence, the good news are out now, the authentic ones. And when everything is out, we could see that, for example, what victories were achieved. So how much the enemies of Islam were defeated in this case. So, Mudarrisi, let's start with the first ceasefire, okay, itself. So, do you believe it was a good idea to go on ceasefire with the U.S. and America?
Yeah, honestly speaking, I was not sure in the very first place. I was not sure. And there was a whole lot of silence in the whole, you know, the authorities did not speak that much about it, so we were not sure about it. But then, now when I look back and see, and I have a look, and I have a closer look at it, I see that the whole scene, when you look at it, strategically, specifically speaking, well, when you look at it, you see three different acts that out of all these acts, America, I mean, that side, the Zionist regime, they have lost three times in this only one ceasefire thing. I think they have lost three times in this. So in the very first place, in the first act, we actually placed the strategic card of closing the Strait of Hormuz on the table. So we played this card. And what was this card for? In exchange for the ceasefire in Lebanon. Okay. So in the second act, actually, the Zionist regime was finally forced to actually comply with this, to get along with this ceasefire. We brought that Zionist regime
because
to this.
Because they didn't stop attacking Lebanon, you know?
Yeah.
When the ceasefire was on, you know?
Yeah, the ceasefire was. So, according to that agreement, we partially reopened the Strait of Hormuz.
Yes.
But in the third act, due to the idiotic display of Donald Trump and the others, we closed the Strait of Hormuz again. So, you see, three victories in these couple of days, specifically related to the Strait of Hormuz, and this ceasefire. When you ask about this ceasefire, so the American side has lost three times, I think. I mean, once that Israel was pressured by the Iranian side into this ceasefire, and then it was closed, the Strait of Hormuz is still closed, and then the ceasefire was established in Lebanon. So three victories, I think.
That's right. But I think ceasefire, and I think victory has been made already. That's why, you know, they forced the U.S. and the Israel to come to the table and sign a type of two-week type of, you know, kind of ceasefire with Islamic Republic of Iran. Am I right? It was like the 12-day war, you know, from day eight they were sending, you know, messages and the letters to us, stop attacking and stop targeting, okay? So this time too, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think...
And this time was, you know, from day one, Iran started retaliating, you know, by attacking the bases and, you know, the navies and everything. So this time Iran acted very much stronger than before than the 12-day war.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I was just reading the other day, I can't remember if it was after day 10, it might have even been earlier than day 10 of the, what we now call the 40-day war. Well, let's call it the Ramadan war, because that was the other word that's been coined for it. Yeah, they already started sort of begging for a ceasefire or something. And obviously, when we talk about the ceasefire that technically ends on Wednesday morning, so in about 2 days' time, even though obviously we know it's been violated again, so it's difficult to talk about ceasefire now. But that was obviously in the context of Iran's 10-point plan. So people maybe thought in the beginning, oh, ceasefire, how can we have ceasefire? But then when we look at the 10-point plan, this is obviously all the demands of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And obviously we know that in a sense, in theory, the U.S. Agreed to sort of have negotiations, to enter into the negotiations based on Iran's 10-point plan. Also a victory for Iran. And obviously, and a lot of this is about humiliating the U.S. because the whole world knew, okay, the U.S. is agreeing to negotiations based on this 10-point plan. And we also know that, of course, the U.S., the whole world could see that the U.S. is not a trustworthy, reliable partner in negotiations because, of course, they then made different demands.
Just amidst two rounds of negotiations, we were attacked by the U.S. and Israel, you know? And this is not a good news for a country to go to a third round with negotiations with the U.S., which is, as you said, is not trustable at all. That's it. So, okay, so do you believe it was a good idea to give them such a break? I mean, we know that in case of Israel, Tel Aviv and Haifa, you know, I'll call it, they were harvested, I think, with our bombs. But the case is, was it a good idea to give them break?
Well, we
because they're untrustable after 2 weeks. As you said already, the ceasefire is violated. The Tuska ship, you know, was seized the day before yesterday in a type of blockade, you know, so of the Hormuz Strait by the U.S. Navy now. So, is it so?
Well, also during this ceasefire, which, of course, has been violated again, so we can see that the comments in the international media, even in the U.S. media, are such that people are seeing what a trustworthy and what a reasonable and wise sort of, let's say, government negotiating team Iran has. So this, any sort of ceasefire that is obviously agreed upon, this gives the whole world the... let's say, the opportunity to see how Iran and its negotiating team conduct themselves. And this is, of course, in very stark contrast to what we see from the U.S. negotiating team. So this, again, just plays into the hand of the Islamic Republic of Iran, for sure. That's and it. Obviously, in Islam, too, we do have the, even with Prophet Muhammad, we have the history of diplomacy being very important. So not just the battlefield, also diplomacy.
Yeah, negotiations, you know, that's it. Okay. That's an important role and place, as you said, in the discourse of Islam too, especially the Shia Islam. I mean, sometimes negotiating, sometimes going to war.
Because it depends on what aims you want to achieve. And based on these aims that you have set for yourselves, there are different routes, there are different paths to get to your goals. So sometimes through diplomacy, sometimes through negotiations and talks.
But with honor.
Yeah. But most of the time with these sides of, full of atrocities. Yes. I mean, these sides mostly understand the words of power. That's it.
In case that the ceasefire is, you know, it's already broken, as I said, okay? So, and the Strait of Hormuz. So, one of the analysts has said that for 47 years, we put Iran under harshest sanctions. So, and Iran endured it. So, and now they can retaliate even our military actions by counterstrikes. And this is really interesting for him. But now, for 1 month, more than 50 years, Hormuz Strait is sanctioned by Iran and the world cannot endure it. Is it right?
Yeah, I think so. Why not? I mean, when you look at it, the whole point, the whole war and the whole these 50 days put aside, the strategic Strait of Hormuz is something else.
Yes.
That's one of the most important victories. I mean, you can't actually, you can't ignore it. I mean, the acceptance of Iran's sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz, which has many side effects with the whole world, not just the region, not just the United States, not just the Zionist regime, but the whole world, that's, I mean, one of the most important victories.
That's
why not?
Right. For 20 miles, distance between, the exact size of this Strait of Hormuz, 20 miles for Iran, maybe less than 18 for Oman, and the only usable part for the big navies and the transits is related to Iran. And see, all these years, even dates back to more before the Inqilab of Iran, for more than 100 years, maybe, they're going passing without the tolling system. So why not tolling now? I mean, why not tolling the ships over there and paying the price?
Yeah, I mean, I had the question myself.
Is it?
Well, apparently the other major waterways in the world also charge tolls. So this is not something strange and unusual. Okay. It's unusual that maybe there haven't been tolls.
Yes, that has been my question from the very beginning. Why not from 40 years ago? Why not from 30, 20? Why not from the day one when they started sanctioning us? Why not? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not actually analyst in this field, but that's my question.
That's right. Maybe the serious war was not taking place in Iran attacking. So that was the winning card for Iran now.
Yes, it could be. Why not?
Yes, Strait of Hormuz. And it's being opened and then closed and then reopened. So, and just look at the rates, of the stock market, fertilizers, petroleum, gasoline, and then going up and down and up and down, okay? And for a non-politician idiot like Donald Trump, this is a danger, for a person who,
And the very speed that the strait is open and closed, you open and close the door of your refrigerator.
Yeah,
this
that's
fast.
It. Okay.
I mean, this is very strange.
All right, then. Thank you, Said Mudarrisi and Sister Zainab. We hope that inshallah the resistance movement will be victorious. And now the resistance movement is not, I think, limited even to Islamic Republic of Iran, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, I don't know, Lebanon. No, it's not. Now we could see that so many non-Muslims in the Western part of the world are parts and the members of this resistance movement. And inshallah this war is going to establish a kind of awakening and enlightenment in the people of the world to see who is the enemy of humanity. Regardless of the language, race, ethnicity, and geographically speaking, any part of the world. Thank you, Master Mudarrisi, Sister Zainab, for presence in the program. Viewpoints, it was very kind of you. I really enjoyed talking to you. Fruitful discussion. Sayyid.
Thank you.
And Sister Zainab.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you,
Brian.
Thank you. Dear listeners, thank you very much. So, the people of Iran, I know that they do not forget to be present in the rallies and demonstrations supporting, but you people around the world, you can support Iranian people through whatever facilities you have, whatever tools you have. It could be through art, it could be a rap song, it could be graffiti, I don't know. Do whatever you can. I know you're already doing it on X, posting, okay? A post, maybe, just got so many, one line of words, okay? So many viewers all across the world. You are making a big change. We are making a big change. We are helping you, inshallah, through our sacrifice. To another episode of Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Long live Islamic Republic of Iran. Long live Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei. Ummati,
يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا